I just don't do good with thug stuff, thug activity. I had one thug dude tell me he was gonna pop the trunk on me one time. He's like, say something else, I'm gonna pop the trunk on your bitch ass. Everybody ran. I was like, well, where'd you park?
And I like to say something when I hit. Don't you like to say something? I like to say bitch. Huh? Don't you like to say that when you connect? Huh? Don't you say, I say bitch. Hold on. Hold on. There you go, right there. Bitch! I'm in the car. He on the ground trying to figure out what the fuck just happened.
I saw somebody get kicked in the face before. That shit was funny. I think if you get kicked in the face, you deserved it, because that means that you watched the foot come to your face. Got to be an asshole to fight somebody using their feet. The person I saw get kicked in the face, the reason why I laughed is because when he got kicked, he looked at us for confirmation. Like he needed approval on what just happened. He's like, yo, shit, yo!
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're all having a beautiful ass Saturday. Yeah, I hope you had a beautiful Saturday, because it's not Saturday, it's Sunday. What the hell? I love when I just start off the show and I'm already screwing up. That just sets the tone for the rest of the show. It's like meeting somebody for the first time and you shake their hands and you notice how ashy their damn hands are. Their hands look like they just got back from ground zero or something. Yeah. So I'm trying to let me just fix this up a little bit. I could go back and just stop and just start recording the show all over again, but don't feel like it. Sitting here with my cup of coffee in one hand, staring at the microphone in my computer, just making sure I know what the hell I'm talking about, which I normally don't. How's everybody doing? Seriously, had an awesome, awesome ass past couple of days. I doubt today's gonna be as active because I did so much stuff the last couple of days, but yeah, I'll be recording this show and cleaning up and ironing for absolutely no reason. Ain't like I got nowhere to go. But let me just start off with how Friday went. Friday was awesome. Friday met up with my coworker Flo and Kiyoshi, and we went and saw that movie Kick-Ass. I had to see this movie on opening day because blogs and interviewers and reporters and all these different sites are just ruining the hell out that movie. I wrote a review at theoshow.com, and it's a very non-spoiler version of it. But just to let everybody know, I gave that movie 5 out of 5 oaks because it was fantastic. Now, this movie's violent as shit. If you don't know that by now, don't go to the movie. Thankfully, I didn't see any parents with their children in the theater because, you know, you would have to call Child Protective Services at that point. And everybody's getting all pissed off because the little girl in the movie, she's like 13 now, supposed to be like 11 years old in the movie. She just violent as hell and cursing. She says curse words I don't even say. I don't even say some of the stuff she be saying. But I loved it, and that's one of those things that makes you want to have a daughter just so you can train her to be that damn crazy and violent. So I saw that with Flo and Kiyoshi, and we saw that with the Arclight. And I hadn't been in the Arclight for years. I hadn't been to the Arclight since Spider-Man 3 came out. So that tells you how long ago I had been there. So we saw that movie, we get out, we just walk around, we go up to Amoeba. Amoeba's expensive as shit, man. Everybody be raving and ranting about how awesome Amoeba is? No, it's not. Amoeba will rip your ass off when it comes to buying DVDs, CDs, movies, whatever. That place will rip your ass off. I just stick to 2020 if I want to buy some movies. Sure as hell ain't going to no damn Amoeba for it. And everybody that works at Amoeba looks like a damn cartoon character for some reason. I don't know what the hell's up with that, but everybody who works at Amoeba looks like a caricature of like a Hollywood person. That shit ain't cool. Plus, everybody has like this snotty little air about them. I just don't like it. That explains why I rarely ever go to Amoeba. I think that's like my fourth time going to Amoeba in my life. The first time was in San Francisco when I took that drunken road trip up there all of a sudden. That was the first time I'd ever been to Amoeba, and there wasn't even Amoeba here on Hollywood at that point. So after that, we mosey on over to Denny's. I hadn't been to Denny's in years either. It's been like 5-6 years since I've been to Denny's. So we go there and I grab me some pancakes and this awesome ass strawberry mango tea. Thing was delicious. And then Saturday, which was yesterday, see, I got it straight this time. So we go, it's me, Heidi, and Michelle and Renard, and Michelle's baby. So we head up to Redondo Beach Pier. It's the same place we went for Heidi's birthday a couple of months ago, where we went to that fish place, and they got crab, and I got me some damn popcorn shrimp, and it was delicious, and we got stuffed off our asses eating there. And it was a cool-ass day. It was a really nice day to be on a pier. So we head over there, and we're supposed to meet up with Julie, but we go over to Julie's house, and her ass was apparently knocked out of sleep as we honked and screamed and called her. So she ended up missing out on it, which sucks because, yeah, she's supposed to be heading to New York very soon. So we go there, and then we get some ice cream, and I'm feeling all kinds of good. And then Michelle took off, and we walked around a little bit more, And then me, Renard, and Heidi, we headed up to Hollywood Boulevard. It's a bitch parking on Hollywood Boulevard, by the way, for those of you who don't know. It's a total bitch parking on Hollywood Boulevard, and it's even worse on a Saturday night. So we park on Hollywood, and there's all kind of thugs and weird people, cops pulling people over, have them up against the walls, and we're just walking around totally oblivious to it, questioning whether or not these are actual cops, ignoring the fact that they have guns on them and everything. And we go to this damn hookah bar, and I had never been to a hookah bar before, ever. I had never even touched a hookah before. So we go to the hookah bar, and what did we get? I think, just like my tea, it was strawberry mango, maybe. I think that's what we got. And I can still slightly taste it in my mouth, even though I brushed my teeth like 2 times since then. So we go to the hookah place, and we sit there for a couple of hours, and they're playing Napoleon Dynamite and Fast and the Furious. Sorry, The Fast and the Furious on the television while we just sat there and talked and hung out. So the last 2 days hanging out with people I like hanging out with was just awesome, awesome-ass days. I really did enjoy the last couple of days. So I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me. And proof that I'm not a hermit, because I post pictures of me being outside my damn house. Oh, there was this racist rally downtown yesterday. There was a damn rally. And I remember Camille was telling me about it because she saw some flyer where it was telling people to gather and, like, fight up against these racist people. So all these people show up, and they show people fighting. And the damn skinhead folk got their own little army with, like, SWAT-looking gear and stuff. I'm like, I'm not fucking with nobody in SWAT gear. If I punch him in the chest, I'm going to just hurt my knuckles. Fuck that. But yeah, all these people showed up to the rally and all pissed off and screaming. It's one of those things where it's like, what are you rallying against? I know the skinhead people were rallying about how America's losing. America, they say America's losing its culture. America ain't got no culture. I don't know if you talk to anybody who doesn't live in America or people who've lived out of America for a really long time, but we're not liked. We're not liked by a lot of places. And our culture is pretty much to take another culture and fuck their stuff up, and then we Americanize it. Things like Tex-Mex. Like, we take something that's from another country, and we do, like, the fusion thing, and we take it, and we, like, grease it up a lot, or we make it way bigger than it's supposed to be, and then all of a sudden, it's Americanized, and people who come from those countries who eat that shit, they're just like, what did you do? You just raped my grandmother. You raped her entire culture. But whatever. I like our food. I have no problem with it. I was talking to Heidi about the food she had over while she was in England, and I was like, fuck, if I ever go over to England, my ass is not going to eat nothing. I'm going to bring me a pack of Skittles and some sunflower seeds and live off that, because I ain't eating no damn blood pudding and all these weird-looking cakes and pig snouts and shit. I'm not a slave. That's what I asked her. I was like, why are people in England eating that way? Because I can understand why people like in slave times, because they got, like, the leftover parts of the pig, and they were like, ooh, pig feet. Let's eat, you know, hog maw, which is pig cheek, and chitlins, which is pig guts. Yeah, let's eat that. I don't understand why people in England are eating that shit. Seriously, any of you listeners in England, please explain to me why are you eating slave food. Still to this day, why are they eating slave food? That's just nasty. I don't see, there's no reason for you to still be doing that. Anyway, back to this whole racist rally. They showed all these people getting all pissed off and fighting, and it was so stupid. It's like, okay, I can understand the racists having a rally, because they're like, hey, we're losing our culture, and we're sick of all these colored people and everybody else, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that part I understand. But when you show up to protest against their hatred, what are you really protesting? It doesn't make any sense to me. There's no reason to go to a hate rally to say and scream at people anger at their hatred. It makes absolutely no sense. And I don't doubt, I know nothing was accomplished by going to an anti-hate rally. Did y'all hear about the Pope apologizing for all them people getting, you know, all them boys and stuff getting fucked with when they were growing up? Yeah, that just happened. Pope Benedict the 16th met Sunday with a group of clerical sex abuse victims and told them with tears in his eyes that the Catholic Church would seek justice for pedophile priests and implement quote-unquote effective measures to protect young people from abuse. The Vatican and victims said, Benedict expresses quote-unquote shame and sorrow at the pain the men and their families suffered and prayed with them during the meetings at the Vatican Embassy in Malta, the Vatican said. In the first time Benedict had met with abuse victims since the worldwide clerical abuse scandal engulfed the Vatican earlier this year, and it marked his most personal and forceful statement on the spiraling scandal since a letter to Irish faithful a month ago. He prayed with them and assured them that the church is doing and will continue to do all in its power to investigate allegations, to bring to justice those responsible for abuse, and to implement effective measures designed to safeguard young people in the future, the Vatican statement said. We all know this is bullshit. We all know they're gonna keep on raping little boys and fucking with them and doing all kind of horrible shit because it's been going on ever since the church has been around. This isn't some huge huge conspiracy theory bullshit nonsense or anything. We all just know this. I think it's one of those things where we all just know it and you try not to talk about it because you really don't like to piss off really religious people. But these guys have been fucking around with these kids forever. And one of the main problems is this, is that you cannot have a grown-ass man and tell this grown-ass man, hey, you can't fuck. You can't do that. You can't do that to people. You can't tell people that they can't have sex. That has to be a decision that you have to make. You can't say God doesn't want you to fuck, so let me surround you by all these young prepubescent boys, and all of a sudden your ass may not even be gay, but all of a sudden you're like, fuck, somebody needs to suck this. I'm gonna pick one of these faithful ass people because I know they're gonna keep their mouth shut. Yeah, it's gonna fuck them up for the rest of their life, and they're gonna grow up and probably molest their kids, or they're gonna just grow up miserable as shit just because they just have all these memories of being molested by someone who they're supposed to trust with, not even just their life and their safety, but somebody they're supposed to be trusting with their everlasting soul, and they're sitting there fucking raping them. So these kids grow up into these fucked up adults, or these miserable adults, and people, who knows how many people have killed themselves, raped other people, just lost their damn mind just because they got molested by a priest growing up. And I think all these people were coming out and talking about it. That's not even a percentage of the amount of abuse and scandals that have gone on. And this is just for the ones who are alive to talk about it, because we know this has been going on for a really long time. So I would really, really, really love to know what the Pope means by effective measures. What does effective measures mean? Are you going to start implementing, like, you know, jack-off days for the priests? Or are you going to bring a whore in and let them actually have sex with these ladies? Or what the hell am I talking about? Have sex with these priests? Are you going to actually let them do that? Because otherwise, it will just keep on continuing. Maybe they'll stop fucking them and just start punching altar boys in the face or something. Who knows? It's all total and utter bullshit and makes absolutely no sense to me. So I'm going to take me a quick break, play some poppy, happy-ass music. I got some Yahoo dating advice for women, and I'm going to answer my phone, and I'll talk to you all in a minute. This random Yahoo dating advice stuff. Now, you all know whenever I read the Yahoo dating advice, it's normally for men. I do sometimes do the women ones, but this one is for women, and these are like the top 8 dating mistakes women make. So of course, you know I'm gonna disagree with these. coming from a single, stupid-ass male point of view. Dating mistake number one, being too available. We're not suggesting you play games, but we're telling you to indulge your passions and resist the urge to abandon your social circle every time your new man sends an invitation. Take Sebastian 34 from Chicago, for example. When I was single, there were women I initially liked who seemed to be waiting by the phone for me to call, which let me know if I didn't meet someone else I wanted to date, I had a standby. There just wasn't anything to work for, and that turned me off, he says. The more you engage and enjoy your life, the more he'll work to be a part of it. I want a woman that's available. I'm not talking about 100% available. She's just sitting there staring at the phone waiting for me to call type of shit. And also like when the chick has shit that she has to do. I know I mentioned on the previous episode before where I said, I want a woman who's so into a TV show, she will not talk to me when that TV show's on the air. Like that kind of thing. But when I like somebody, I want to be around them as much as possible. I want to hang out with them all the fucking time. So this being too available thing, I don't agree with completely. I like availability. I'm always available, shit. Dating mistake number two, trying to rehabilitate a bad boy. Ah, here we go. Any relationship is rarely easy, and though flying solo might not be your long-term goal, being on your own is probably better than feeling alone in a relationship with someone who treats you poorly. Even when it might be tempting to give toxic romance one more try, knowing when to cut your losses and move on leaves you available and baggage-free when the right guy comes along. That doesn't really sound like trying to rehabilitate a bad boy. That just sounds confusing to me. And I've already gone on tirades about girls always wanting to date the bad guy. I was talking to somebody about that. I was talking to Hazel about that recently. How girls will find a horrible dude and try to make him the good guy, or they'll find the good guy and try to make him have bad boy tendencies and shit. Makes no sense to me, and it's totally confusing. Number three, looking for perfection. Encouraging you to settle isn't our style, but separating your desires from your deal breakers can give you a love life major upgrade. There's some qualities that your mate must have, being honest, for example, and others such as movie star looks, that should be thrown in the would-be nice category. Sit down and realistically figure out what characteristics are non-negotiable, and then be open-minded about the rest. We all know that we're not gonna have the super perfect, super body, super looks, all that type of super personality type of thing in the relationship. Everybody hopefully already knows that kind of thing, but I'm starting to get the feeling that most people don't. I already know I'm not going to get that, so I've given up trying. See? It's easy. Number four, feeling sorry for yourself. No, that was not me feeling sorry for myself, so take that. Resist the urge to bemoan your single status, which will only make him wonder why you find yourself such a terrible company, and use this time to date yourself. Take a dance class at the local studio. Hitting up the exhibit you've been aching to see and trying out the new wine bar on the corner will not only offer you the chance to have more fun, but will also leave you more likely to meet someone who shares your interests. So much better than sitting in your apartment waiting for someone to wink at your online profile picture, isn't it? Another bonus, you'll have far more interesting things to talk about over dinner than what your boss made you do on your lunch break last Friday. Oh, hell. I'm sorry, but that was funny. Dating mistake number five, knowing his thread count before you know his phone number. Ooh. Getting it on with a sexy stranger is your natural born right, but according to many guys, it can be the wrong move if you're looking for long-term love. Who are these lying-ass dudes? Follow the advice of super sexy leading man Giles Morani. He was Samantha's sexy neighbor in Sex and the City, the movie. Men love women who respect themselves and do not rush into bed with them, but instead go on a few dates where they can start to gain an understanding of each other and then decide whether or not to take things further. Women need to know that they're taking it slow, and getting to know one another is the best way into a good relationship. Maybe you just want to fuck. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Number six, being too selfish in a relationship. One of the downsides of being independent is that it can lead to some self-absorbed tendencies, a huge turnoff for men looking for a serious relationship. So make sure you're giving as much as you're receiving in your next relationship. A partnership involves two people who share mutual interests and mutually benefit one another. It's not just about what being with him can provide you. It's about how you can come together to complement each other. Oh my God, making me read this is realizing that I really, really do not want to date anymore. Dating mistake number seven, believing in the one. A lot of women make dating more difficult by placing so much pressure on themselves to find the one and only man in a billion they believe is right for them. Instead of convincing yourself the ex you dumped was your soulmate, or that perfect but merry coworker was your one that got away, take a cue from our male counterparts and approach the dating scene with the idea there are plenty of men who are capable of making you laugh, sharing your values, and melting your heart, and you're going to have fun with several of them until you find the one worthy of your commitment. Dating mistake number eight, forgetting your manners. We can't imagine this is something you'd ever do, but a little reminder never hurts. Say thank you. Good manners have become so old-fashioned that men now wait for the thank you at the end of the date as a way to see if she's worth seeing again. I don't care if the woman looks like Kate Beckinsale or has a PhD. If she can't be bothered to utter those two little words, I am never calling her again. That's total bullshit, by the way. We're all used to people just not having manners in general, and I've already spoken about how the whole gentleman-type behavior shit is just gone away because so many women have shit on it. Like the whole chivalry's dead, women killed it type of thing, where people have confused being an independent woman with being a bitchy-ass woman. And the two have gotten so mixed up to the point where they're completely inseparable now. And it makes no sense, and it totally sucks. So enough of that dating advice bullshit, because it really does start to just make my head hurt. And it's not just the fact that I'm drinking a lot of coffee and I ain't got no creamer, so I just mixed a whole lot of sugar in this shit, and it's just making me hyper. It has nothing to do with that. And what other shit I want to talk about is growing up and fighting. Because at the beginning of this show, if you remember, I played some clips of Kevin Hart and Jamie Foxx talking about fighting folks. And fighting was something that happened when I grew up when I was little. Because you know why? Because I was the youngest. I had four older brothers. Yes, I only lived with three of them. But I had these three older brothers living in the house with me. And of course, we gonna fight. Fighting was just something you did. People don't, if you don't have older siblings like that, especially older brothers, and maybe if you're a girl and you didn't get roughed up by your older brother, maybe you won't understand this. But growing up in the house, and it wasn't a thing where we fought for food or anything, because when I was little, I really just lived off sugar, which is why my teeth were so shit-tacular. I lived off sugar, and when I had food, I used to just give to my brothers. But my oldest brother, Kevin, he was a huge wrestling fan. My brother is the one who got me into wrestling in general, and like, period. My brother Kevin's the reason I draw, the reason I do a lot of creative shit. So I just be walking through the house. I'm on my way to the kitchen, go get some milk or something, pray that there's some punch in the refrigerator, and I'm walking to the kitchen, and next thing I know, I just hear someone scream a wrestling move, and then the move is done on me. That's how he rolled. Like, I hear DDT, and next thing I know, my head hurt, and I'm on the ground, wondering what happened. I hear spine buster, next thing I know, I'm spine busted. For people who don't know what a spine buster is, YouTube that shit. That's what a spine buster is, and that's what used to happen to me on the hard-ass bedroom floor. Now, growing up and being in so many situations like that, it really does prepare you for a lot of stuff. I can't imagine what it's like to grow up in a completely peaceful household and all of a sudden someone does something violent towards you. And you're just like, hey, what's going on? What is this? Why is this person assaulting me? Because when you're little and that shit happens, you're just used to it. You're like, yeah. Sometimes people just attack folks for no damn reason. Me and my brother Luther used to get into epic fights. Me and my brother Luther, my God, we used to get into some damn brawls where, of course, I was almost always on the losing side of it because my brother Luther didn't give a damn. He would hit you like you were somebody he had just met on the street and had spit in his face. My brother Luther can fight. That bastard has a knockout punch. And when he hits you, it's like a wall. It's like you just threw yourself at a wall because he hit you and you go. Like, he'd hit you and you fly away. Like in movies when you see people get hit and you're like, oh, that's so fake. Nobody can fly that far. Bullshit. Yes, you can. If you get hit by my brother Luther, you will fly. You will move really far, really fast, and not even see the shit coming. That's the worst part of it, is when you don't see it coming. Like, you're sitting there, and I say some smart mouth shit to him, and all of a sudden, I'm just, like, across the hallway. I'm just somewhere else. It's like, wait a second. I was just right over there. I was just in that spot. Now I'm not, and I don't understand it. So, yeah. And my brother Jerron, and Jerron never listens to this show, so I should tell him to listen to this. My brother Jerron and me would get into scuffles. Now, me and Jerron didn't scuffle that damn much. I would mostly fight with my brother Luther, and my brother Kevin would just attack me. Like, that's just his thing. He just attacked folks. So, me and my brother Jerron rarely fought. But I see my brother Jerron whoop people's asses. And people try, oh, man, he gay. He can't fight nobody. And I remember one time over at my grandmama's house, there's this punk-ass boy named Dante I didn't get along with. See, I never got along with any other Dante in my life, by the way. Every other Dante sucks ass, so I might as well group myself into that category. So we're sitting there on my grandmama's porch. Dante come over there and start some shit. So Dante's starting some shit, and he getting into it with my brother Jerron. My brother Jerron whooping his ass. My brother Jerron's just beating his ass. And then I take the screen door, and I'm just, this is one of those metal screen doors, and I'm just nailing Dante in the head with it. Then my grandmama come out the house, and she grabs him by the scruff of his neck like he's a kitten, and she lifts Dante up off the ground. She's like, oh, my goddamn Polish, did you ever come over here again? Because my grandmama, she went to church every Sunday, but she cursed her ass off. She didn't care, because she rolled like that, and she kicked him off. And I remember one time, Jerron got into a fight at Mid-City. This was in front of the whole damn school. Jerron got into a fight in front of everybody, and it was amazing. And he whooped that boy Damien's ass in front of everybody and busted his nose. And Jerron didn't even get suspended for that shit. That's one of the things. I never got suspended for school. I got into a couple of fights. I never got suspended. I remember I whooped the shit out of this one boy in the fifth grade. I remember at 49th Street Elementary School, there was this boy named Kerry. This boy was black. This boy looked like train smoke. He was so damn black. And I remember he used to fuck with us every time we passed his house on the way to school. And it's like, damn, ain't you supposed to be going to school too? And he did go to school with us. He just make his way there. This boy was black. This boy had this, he was darker than his lips, which was bizarre. Because he was pretty damn black, and he had like purple lips. And he used to fuck with us every single time we'd be trying to go to school. And then one day, we were in front of the school, And he started messing with me and my cousin Tremaine, my cousin Mike. We started fucking with us. So then one day I just leaned back and just wha-pow, popped him right in the jaw and took off running. I just punched him and I ran. I found this teacher, Miss Aberly. Why do I remember that lady's name? Found Miss Aberly and I turned on the waterworks. I was just like, ah. And she looks up and she just sees a shadow coming for me. And he ends up getting in trouble. They sent his ass home. And he didn't fuck with us after that. I remember at Mid-City people finding out that my brother Luther, the one that hits like a wall, I remember when they found out that he was my brother and they stopped fucking with me. So it was just this whole history of violence thing going on in the whole house and the whole family. And everyone knows how to fight in my family. Like everybody, what they call it, mad squabbles. Everybody knows how to fight. I'm a stubborn fighter. As in, like, when I used to fight my brother Luther, I used to just keep coming at him. Even when I had no damn energy left. It was like that last WrestleMania match where Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels is like pulling himself up on the Undertaker, like trying to climb him like a tree just so he can get his ass beat some more. That's what I used to do with my brother Luther, because me and him, seriously, we used to just get into these hardcore ass fights, and I didn't know when to stop. Like, my brain would just be like, dude, I am so checking out right now because you obviously do not realize that you're beaten. And I'd just be like, fuck you, brain. I'm gonna keep on going. And then next thing I know, I'm on my back again. Because I remember one time he gave me like an 8-minute ass whooping. That thing lasted for 8 minutes. He was treating that like it was his part-time job to whoop my ass. And he just would not stop. And I just kept getting up and getting my ass beat again. And I get up and get my ass beat again. And it's funny because he started liking me after that. After he beat my ass for a marathon whooping, we became pals. Well, not best friends, man, but we became pals because me and none of my brothers are really all that close. The one I was closest with, the one that passed away years ago. But me and my brothers, it's not like we call each other, see how each other doing or nothing. I barely talk to my brother on Facebook. My other brother, Luther, I barely talk to him. My brother, Fred, I ain't seen him since my grandmother's funeral. And before that, I ain't seen him since I was like 6-7 years old. I've only seen him 3 times in my life. So yeah, that's my slight history of violence in my family. I swear, I could do an entire series of shows talking about just fights between my brothers and me and my brothers. And they would almost all of them would end with me getting my ass whooped. So that's it for now. I'll talk to everybody soon. I hope you have an awesome ass week. Remember, see Kick-Ass. You better see Kick-Ass because you know they're going to start spoiling it this week with showing more and more of the movie and more people complaining about that little hit girl character. So everybody take care. Have an awesome week again. And I'll talk to you all soon. Rockets.
I never wanted it to be like this. You know that.
It don't matter what you wanted. It's what you did.